up, guys? We're back again this week. Got another episode coming for you. As promised, we are gradually going to get better at this. I mean, look at this. Drastic improvements from week one to week two. I don't even know what we're going to do on week three. It's going to be insane. We got what?
A TV.
Yeah, TV right above my head. We got a station right here that controls the TV. It's insane. It really is. Big things happening over here between the lines. But anyway, without further ado, let's go ahead and dive into the next one.
Okay, so today we are going to kind of go over how it is coaching our kids, what we think about parents that coach. So without further ado, we are going to start off with a trauma candy salad. I will go first.
Candy salad?
You tell your trauma about like sports that happened, maybe that parents did to you, coaches did to you, whatever it is. Mine is pretty much all my dad. Love him. But when I was in eighth grade, he was my travel basketball coach. And about 2 minutes into the game, he thought I wasn't giving enough effort. So he sat me on the bench, untied my shoes, and put them at the end of the bench. I have yummy frogs. Your turn.
Go ahead.
Me?
Yeah.
I'm a little bit different. I don't recall a trauma that was caused by a coach or a parent that I could tell a story about. I was more or less one of the shitty players that, or shitty teammates, that acted a fool. So, one story that I can recall, we were at districts playing a Ralston team, and it was, God, I want to say it was 100, felt like it was 120 degrees, and I was a catcher, and that's the only position I played. At that point in time, I was so sick and tired of being behind the plate that I didn't want to play baseball anymore. I was the four hole. My first at bat, I hit a two-run home run. We go back on defense, get three outs. I come into the dugout and I tell my coach I don't want to catch. He tells me, too bad. And I said, no, too bad for you. I ain't going back in to catch. And he pulled me from the game. At the end of the game, I want to say it was tied 2-2 or something like that. Four hole was up and it was my sub because I wasn't in the game, and he got struck out and we lost the game, and that's my song.
That's a big old clump of gummies. I got a lot. But we'll start off with,
don't finger the bears.
Start off with, my mom was a catcher. I was a catcher for a long time. And I was notorious for not giving up very many pass balls. There was this one game, had a pass ball, kind of jogged to it just a little bit. So we at home, silent car ride. She tells me to go change. So I go home, change. Come back down, talk to her. She says, go outside. Well, we lived in like a little itty bitty rural town, and she hopped on a four wheeler and she chased me around. She told me that if I didn't want to give any effort on the field, that she would chase it out of me. Last time I ever jogged to a ball again.
What'd you bring?
You brought Sour Patch Kids because I did not bring anything.
There you go.
There we go.
Wait, my mom told me I wasn't allowed to use this one, but when I was a senior in high school, I had a seizure, and at the time they didn't know that I was epileptic, but I had a seizure and my back went out of place and we were in districts, and my mom said that I needed to suck it up and pitch anyways. And I brought Skittles.
You're not yourself.
Huh?
You're not yourself and you're hungry.
Nope, not at all.
Grab a Snickers.
My next one would be, I still haven't confirmed this story, so I'm not 100% sure if it's true or not, but it was a game here in Fremont. My dad and I got into an argument of some sort, and I was told that I hit his Jeep with my baseball bat. Cannot confirm nor deny. I tried calling my dad. He loves me so much he didn't answer when
That's
I called him.
That's part of the drama.
So that would be my next one.
We're at the All-Star game, hit a home run, felt really good about it. My mom's little 5'3" Italian body walked over to the fence and said, "Hey, it's a good thing the wind was blowing out because you dropped your shoulder really hard on that one." Nothing was ever good enough. Was it, Mom?
Was it, Mom?
Okay. One time in high school, my dad read a really long story about Kevin Garnett running a mile after practices. So he thought it would be a really good idea for me to run a mile daily after practices. And if I didn't get it under a certain time, he would follow me with his truck and honk at me and make me run it again. Your turn.
Oh, yeah. I don't have another one for myself, so I'm going to say one for my own child.
Alan. Super valid.
John and Sammy can attest to this.
And this is the segment we are getting into today.
Yes, exactly. This past weekend, she played center field. Wasn't playing her best games by any means.
I really think it was a good
week. It's debatable. That's why we're here.
And I ended up pulling her from the game and not telling John and Sammy about it, and they were not happy with me.
We were all confused. Nicole was wondering what was going on. Sam was like, where's Chloe? Why is she on the bench?
Why is Chloe looking at me?
I guess I got one more. Mom, I really do love you. Like, I'm grateful for everything you did. Even though you're going to deny all of these, but I do recall I was younger, again, pass ball. No, I was up to bat. It was a curveball, and I moved away from it. It was like the first time I'd ever seen a curveball. I was like, dude, what is this wizardry going on right here? Like, it was magic, black voodoo magic, and I was so confused. Shit looked like it was coming right at me. Like, I kid you not. I literally hit the deck. I was like, no. And then it broke in across the plate for a strike, and that was strike three, and I looked really dumb. So, again, another silent car ride home. We get home. My mom, she looked at me. She said, "Hey, go stand by the fence." And anytime she said, "Go stand by the fence," that was usually a bad sign because, like, the fence would stop objects from going over to the other side, and usually I was in front of it, so now I was one with the fence, right? So she went inside. About an hour later came out, and I was petrified. I was like crying, shaking, scared to death. She was like, "So you're afraid of the ball?" And I was like, "No, not of the ball, just that one ball." And she was like, no, you're afraid of the ball. We're gonna fix that." She threw balls at me for about 30 minutes. Later on in life, it ended up working in my benefit because I was able to lead our league in home runs and most times being hit by pitch. I thought it was hilarious when I got hit by the ball. So. Mom, these Airheads are for you.
Mom, Dad, I can't attest for you guys, but if you're listening, I love you. I didn't like it then, but I appreciate
it. I understand it.
Yeah, and I actually called my dad yesterday to ask him about some other traumas, and he refused to give them to me and, quote, said, "I was teaching you discipline."
Absolutely.
So that's kind of how that went, and I appreciate it today. Love you very much, but that's kind of the segment we want to get into. So for you guys,
let's dive right in.
Yeah, let's dive right in. You're both coaching your kids now. Let's talk about before you guys started coaching your kids. What was your perception of parents coaching children?
It's still the same for me.
Okay.
I hate daddy ball.
Okay.
I cannot stand it. I think that there's a right way and a wrong way to coach your kid. I still haven't found the right way, so I'm not quite there yet. Trying really hard, constantly evolving. It's a very fine line and tough relationship to walk onto a field and no longer be dad and no longer allow the emotions that you feel take place and turn into dad while you're coach. But in my opinion, daddy ball, I think, has a notoriously bad rep. But on the other side, looking in, without dads volunteering their time, their effort, their energy, you sports want to be what they are either. So,
yeah.
You know, it's a fine line. You don't want to be accused of playing daddy ball. But at the same time, that's what makes the select world go around. So.
Well, and I think it truthfully is a very fine line because I think as parents, you are the ones, you're the ones going out with your kids to the fields and you're getting to see them do all these incredible things with you during practice. And so you know what they're capable of. right? And being a parent coach, you're put in the position to say, okay, I want to go put the best player in this position, and you've seen your kid time and time again in your guys' practices do things that you're like, holy crap, that was amazing. And you know what they can do. You know what they're capable of. So it becomes very hard to, one, pull your kids, and two, also get not as frustrated with your kids because you know what they're capable of. So when they do make these small errors, or even like you said earlier, when Chloe dropped that ball, she made it a great read on the ball. She had a good first step to it. She was right there. She just missed it just barely over her shoulder. So a lot of kids aren't getting to that ball.
Well, and
but in
just,
our minds, we're like, we know she can get there.
Just for context too, right? Like Corey's kid, Chloe, she was a middle infielder pretty much the entire time up to this season. My kid's a pitcher, and then she basically played middle infield on her last team as well. My kid's 11, Chloe is 13, and they're playing 14U, basically Class A. They went from 12UC to 14A. Chloe is in a position she's never played before. Izzy moved into the outfield. We took the athletes, or the most athletic kids on our team, with strong arms, and we moved into the outfield because from 12U to from 12U to 14U, it's no longer about playing your feelings; it's playing for wins. You know, Sammy and I have coached 16s, 17s, 18s, basically for the last 8 years. We still have an 18U team, but we're going to drop down and help out Corey and Nicole. It's a much different world. It really is. You get to deal with all the emotions of the kid, and
14s is incredibly different.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine really 12s or 10s. I don't think I would make it through that season.
No way, Jose. Shout out to all you guys that coach 12U and 10U.
The big thing that I think for us, and I don't like you, it's probably, yeah, I mean, you're probably going to agree with us here, but on our 18s, we preach that it's super important to coach confidence and instill in them that, like, we believe in them. We have confidence in you. We want you to make game-changing plays. We don't want you to play it safe. We don't need to go all out and things like that.
Fail forward.
Yeah, fail forward. And it can be incredibly difficult to
fail forward with your dad in the dugout.
Well, no, just like push your kids in that same way. Like, I feel like it's very easy to see your kid make a mistake, and you automatically think every parent that's watching is saying, oh gosh, that's the coach's kid. They better do something, or they better say something. And if you don't, they're judging you. So I think in some ways we push our kids to the max because we feel like we have to, and if we don't, we're going to be judged because of that.
That's really what it comes down to for me, at least. Like,
I feel that a lot.
I think this past weekend was the first tournament that we've had with the 14s where I've actually been mellow. If you guys ever get the chance to come out, a lot of you guys, if you follow our TikTok, we've seen you guys at softball parks and complexes and stuff, and you've seen us coach our 18U team. We're high energy, loud. We love to play. Sam and I love to be there. And then you come watch 14s, and it was just a lot of like finger pointing, yelling. But for me, that's like the hardest transition. And it comes down to, like you said, like anytime my kid makes an error, A, she's the youngest girl on the team. B, she's also my kid. So if there's somebody sitting, I feel as if like it's my obligation to that parent to pull my kid and give somebody else's kid an opportunity. And sometimes that's not the right move. So.
Well, and let me put this in perspective. I'll give you a scenario on both of them. I'm not saying I'm perfect by any means, but I'm saying
you're a lot better at this than we are,
100% that I think I'm better at this than they are.
You are.
So let me give you a scenario. So about 4 weeks ago, Izzy was not having her best game pitching. And so I said, I'm going to go call time. And John says, no, I got this one. I had a lot of confidence in him as he was walking out. He went out. It's a very short, brief conversation. Comes back in. She continues to pitch terribly. I go on wondering. Yes, she did.
She struck the next girl out.
She did not.
Yes, she
did. We can pull the tapes.
We'll pull it.
I was like, huh, I wonder what he said to her. Later that night, Izzy's bawling in our kitchen, telling us that she's just really struggling mentally. And I'm like, what is going on? I'm like, hey, so what did your dad say to you when you went out to the mound and you guys had that conversation, you had that mound visit? And she said, he said to get your fucking shit together. And then he left. And I said, wow, that's really great advice. He said, God, how did that help you? She said, it didn't help me at all. I was like, Wow, I wouldn't think it would. That's impressive, though. Really, really great advice. So I was like, next time I'll do the mound visit. Okay, glad we got that figured out. Moving on to Corey. This weekend, legitimately, so first off, he refuses to believe this, but I heard it come out of his mouth. She walks up to the plate. Before it even happens, he goes, "Hey, how about you swing the fucking bat, huh?" And she's like, "Okay, all right." She gets in there, you know. She
Wait, hold on.
Swings
Context. She's also leading our team in every batting category that there is. So.
And so she looks up, she's like, "Yeah, I'll swing my bat." First pitch in the dirt, swings at it. I'm like, "That's why we don't fucking swing the bat right out of the gate." Okay, next pitch, it's a ball, good take. You know, we end up getting into like a full count, and she hits one to,
I think
left side.
Blooper to third,
yeah. Yeah, something like that. And she gets thrown out. It was pretty close plate, actually. But it was a really good at-bat. Like, she had a couple foul balls that she battled off. Like, really good at-bat. She runs through first, and she goes, he goes, "Oh, that's it. You're fucking sitting the bench. Get in the dugout right now. You're sitting." She was, like, looking around, like, "What did I do?" After the game, he comes over and he's like, "Hey, you keep that fucking attitude up, and you're never playing a game again. I promise you, I'll sit you every fucking game." She was like, "Okay." So he walks away. I say, "Hey, what was the attitude that you had?" She goes, "Well, I ran through first," and I said, "That was it." And she kind of looked down like she felt like that was a bad attitude. And I said, "Hey, I'll talk to him because that's just called breathing. We'll work on it." So we had that conversation. They did end up hugging it out about an hour later. But yeah, to put into context how these two are going through the 14-U season, that's kind of about it right there.
Hey, I was great last tournament. I just want to go ahead and throw that out there. I was very supportive.
He was.
I supported everybody. And I think for me, it was very eye-opening when we had a practice. Izzy had a really bad practice and made some like really uncharacteristic type plays or lack thereof. And we were riding home and I was like, "Hey, dude, like just talk to me. Like, I'm not coach, I'm just dad. Just talk to me. Like, you love softball, you're good at softball, you have a great future in softball. At 11 years old, the things that you're able to do, it's crazy. Like, that's why you're playing up at the level that you're playing up to. So, like, I don't want to be the reason that you ever fall out of love with the game. Just tell me." And we kind of hashed some stuff out. I called Corey. Corey gave me some constructive criticism. Talked to Sam. Sam gave me some constructive criticism. Our other coach, Nicole, showed up on Friday, and she just kind of told me, "Hey, man, you're an asshole. Like, just stop being an asshole." And I was like, "Oh, okay." So I kind of did some short soul searching, and it came down to Sam and I have always been known as the coaches or the people who kids that may not be able to go out and do something consistently go out and do something. And it's because we breathe that confidence into them. I've never talked to a player ill or down to a player. And for me, it was like, well, if I'm not going to talk to your kid this way, why am I talking to my kid this way? And it kind of opened my eyes a little bit, and we had a great tournament. I think Izzy ended up pretty much pitching the majority of the weekend. Was one of the best outings I think I've seen her have. She had 16 strikeouts in total.
It was the best span of games I've seen Izzy play
yes,
in a while.
Consistently.
Yes,
consistently.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Like, if she does this thing
like,
a lot where
yes.
she'll have a really incredible yep. game and then the next time you're like, "Where did you go?"
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And
it's definitely a lot more consistent.
Yeah. And I think like Izzy and Chloe are like polar opposites. Like Izzy gets pissed off. She doesn't vocalize stuff. And Chloe is a little bit softer hearted. Izzy's just ruthless. Like, she doesn't care if she has to kill you. Like, she'll do it if she can win. And Chloe's all about like, well, I want to make sure if I win, my friend wins, you know? So like trying to navigate through the feelings and the emotions of every different kid has proven to be tough, but you know, we're doing it, we're here. It's gonna happen.
And I think it's I think it's important to understand too that, and we talk about this all the time, but even on our 18s, John said that, you know, "I would never talk to your kid this way." I'm not gonna sit here and say that I've never been kind of heartless talking to a player before.
Effort. Like, it boils down to effort.
To an extent,
you know?
That age. I think realistically, every player is different. Every person is different. And it's really important to understand how they respond. So, like, for example, with our kids, and you've probably had similar conversations in your vehicle, and so have some of you that are listening, But Izzy was in the back seat of this past weekend, and John said, "Hey, Iz, did I do better this weekend? Did I do a better job of giving you what you need?" And she was like, "Yeah, I mean, I guess." And he was like, "Well, I think you did. I think you did a pretty good job this weekend. Like, there's still things that we could have done better, but I think you did a pretty good job." And he was like, "Is do you like this better? Like, you like the what I'm giving you better?" And she was like, "I mean, not really, no." She's like, "Yeah, I don't really like how nice you have been." And was completely, like, serious about it. She was like, "You could probably be a little bit more mean." And he was like, "Okay, all right."
And I think the perspective, though, from her is that if he's being that nice to her in front of her peers, then she's getting special treatment.
Yeah.
And like, Chloe's the same way in the sense of she doesn't want people to think that she's getting a pass on anything. Like, and Izzy and Chloe are exactly the same way. Like, I just last night, only Izzy and Chloe went to the field with me, and we just worked on stuff for an hour and a half. Like, that's the thing that a lot of parents don't see and a lot of other players don't see, in my perspective at least, because I know for a fact on our team there's a few that don't do anything outside of practice or games, like, at all. And a lot of parents and players aren't seeing that our kids, they live, breathe, eat, sleep softball. Like, that's all they want to do.
Well, and, like, on that note, too, like, the whole reason why we decided to coach is because if we weren't coaching, where are our kids going to go?
100%.
Right, you know, and so it's like they care about the sport so much. The whole reason that we're coaching them is because we know without it they would be super sad, right? Whereas I think a lot of people that don't coach, they're kind of, like, not coaching because if their kid didn't really play, their kid wouldn't really care that much. Right. I don't think that's everybody do it, but I do think it's a large majority, and I think that's why so many, like, we probably have, if you were to break down all teams, and this is just, like, spitballing here, I'm not giving you a certain number because I really don't know, and I don't think there's any way to find this number, but if you were to break down all teams, travel, rec, everything, less than 50% of those kids are practicing extra outside of practice.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And if you were to break down all those teams, I guarantee you in the 50% are the coaches' kids that are practicing extra.
And pitchers.
That are putting in the extra time.
Yeah.
Pitchers, catchers.
Right?
Pitchers.
And that's the whole reason why we get into coaching, because we know they love it so much and they're willing to put in that extra work. Mm-hmm. And that's why we also hold them to a higher standard.
Well, and I had this conversation last night with a parent. Like, 14U softball at the end of the day, it doesn't really mean anything. You can go win every single game. You could go lose every single game. No college is going to ask you about your 14U season.
Exactly.
But it is a huge stepping stone moving into 16s, where now all of a sudden you're playing for looks, right? Like, you're playing for a college's attention. And in my opinion, 12U, 10U, 8U, the kid's more so out there for the parent. Like, you're out there because the parent has friends. They want to go hang out and socialize on the weekend. Or you know, like, they want something to do during the summer instead of just having their kids sit inside. Like, they're not really out there for themselves quite yet, at least the majority of them. 14U, in my opinion, is that big stepping stone that's stuck in the middle between 16s and 18s, where, like, half of your team is going to weed itself out. You got half the girls that are going to be like, "Man, I just really don't like softball anymore. You know, like, I think I want to play volleyball, or I want to go play basketball, or maybe I don't want to do anything." You know, and then you got the other half of the team who's like, "Yeah, this shit's for me," you know? And this age group, in my opinion, is kind of where that all happens, because I have never seen at the A or national level a 16 or an 18U team where it looks like players are out there because of mom and dad. They're out there because they want to play in college. They're out there because they want to. So I think, like, A, being parents at this age group, B, having parents with unrealistic expectations, and then C, like, being a coach who is a parent, like, you throw all those things into the equation, and that's what creates the stressors of being a parent coach, you know? Yep. So.
Yep, absolutely. And I think mentally, it's incredibly challenging to keep yourself in check. And I think that the biggest thing for me, I think it's nice to an extent, because I am stepmom really to Izzy. And so I feel like she feels a little bit maybe more comfortable talking to me about certain things when it comes to sports, because she knows maybe I'm not going to be as critical as he is, and I'm going to see it from her perspective maybe a little bit better.
Well, and she also has like, Izzy has been in a pitching tunnel since she was three.
Yeah.
Like, she's watched Sam. Like, they have a very good softball relationship with one another. Sam doesn't have to sugarcoat anything. She can be honest. Izzy can be honest with Sam. So there's that safety net right there as far as, like, you know, softball goes. So.
Yeah, and I think sometimes she finds herself in limbo with, like, when we're in pitching sessions. Some, like, I have to go back to kind of what my dad used to say to me all the time. His big thing was anytime I didn't want to practice or do something, he knew that I really loved the games that I was playing in. I was a very competitive kid, and so he always goes on, he always tells me that he could push me in a different way. And anytime he was like, hey, you need to go to the gym or you need to go do this or that, and I didn't want to, which was rare, he would say, okay, well, there's somebody out there doing what you're not. There's somebody out there working harder than you right now.
The 1%.
And I would just get pissed. And I'd be like, okay, fine, whatever. Let's go to fucking gym then. And we would. And so sometimes I find myself using a lot of those words with Izzy. I'm like, okay, listen. Because it is hard to push yourself at all times. It is hard when you're tired after school, when you're tired after a couple games, but you didn't really play your best, to go and put in more work.
Especially at a younger age. Like it doesn't really make sense to them, I don't think, right now, that, like, what they do in preparation for the next 2 years will determine the next four after high school. But, like, 14s is kind of where it all starts to blend in together and make a little bit more sense. So.
And at 14s, especially where Izzy is as a pitcher, like, and hitting-wise, right, like, I think those are the two things where they can be extremely mentally challenging. Like, fielding, everyone's going to make errors. But when it comes to pitching and hitting,
you hear that? Everyone's going to make an error.
Those can be incredibly challenging mentally, especially when you're going to hitting lessons and you're doing pitching lessons.
Practices.
And you're putting in all the work, right? And you have these great hitting, like, you go out and have, I know everyone's experienced this, you have a great hitting lesson and you have a great session and you're just hitting the absolute shit out of the ball. You go to a game and you go 0-for-3. And it may not be you striking out, it may be you striking out, but, like, maybe you're hitting line shots and people are just catching it. And then you go 0-for-3 the next game. Like, that right there will challenge you mentally, I think, than a lot of other sports. Because that stings really bad when you're putting in all the extra time and all the extra work, and then all of a sudden you're like, I'm still going 0-for-3.
It's actually funny that you say that. Chloe does hitting lessons with Sammy, and I still remember when she first started, like, I want to say probably a month or two into it. I don't know if she hadn't gotten a hit or just wasn't hitting good. And after a tournament, she gets into the car and she's crying and she's like, I just suck, Dad. I've done all this work. I go home at night. I hit off the tee. I go to Sammy once a week. We go to the field probably once or twice a week. Like, why do I suck at hitting the ball? And she was defeated. And she just kept working. I mean, sometimes that is all you can do, is just go back to the drawing board and figure it out.
Yeah,
I hope you can figure it out.
I've also had this talk with them quite a bit, the 14s. Like, softball is one of those sports where you're either going to feel really, really high or you're going to feel really, really
you're
low.
You're going to fail more than you
should. And right now, I think for that team in particular, like, I think our 18s do a pretty good job. They fall victim sometimes to playing down, but like, playing at your standard, your level, right? Softball is a mental sport. So, like, at the end of the day, mentally, you're going to be defeated before you're defeated physically. And it's really hard at this age to understand that because, like, everybody expects you just to go hit the ball. Well, it's easy to hit a ball on a tee. It's hard to hit a ball that's moving at you 50 miles per hour with a little bit of spin on it, right? Like, there's so many different factors that go into softball. So trying to get them all to understand, like, hey, this is us right here. And if we play to our capability, we will win more than we lose, right? Instead of playing down to a bad team or up to a good team. You can't really ride those highs and those lows. So, and I think every kid struggles with it at that point. Like, Izzy will come in here and throw a 54 and then go out into a game and throw a changeup every other pitch, and or at least what looks like a changeup. And I'll be like, dude, what are you doing? Just throw hard. And she's like, I am, you know? I think, A, their bodies are changing so much right now. B, they may not be the most hand-eye coordinated individuals while they're going through those changes, you know? And then you got the emotions, and then you got the hormones and just everything all together at this age group is it's tough. It really is. So, you know, instead of playing down or playing up, you just play to your standard.
Well, and I think it's incredibly hard to understand that legitimately failure is success.
Yeah.
So in games, if you're going 1-for-3 and you're batting a .333, like that's pretty solid.
In the majors, and you're getting paid.
Yeah, and a lot of these kids don't understand that a .333 is a good batting average. And I mean, I actually have this talk, I'm telling you, I swear it's like weekly with a lot of my hitters, especially when I have a new hitter. I'm like, I always ask them, I'm like, hey, what do you think a good batting average is in Major League Baseball? What do you think the highest batting average is ever? And I always get the response that like 800, like 800, 900 probably.
Hell
and
yeah.
I'm like, are you actually
awesome.
Shitting
Hell
me?
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's insane that you respond like that, but it makes sense that you do because you think that these athletes are batting that. Like you think that's, I'm not saying it's not, they're not capable, but it's just really not feasible. It's not.
I mean, I would say in like our A-team, U-team definitely isn't the best team out there. But I would say that they are some of the best hitters I think I've ever seen. And like even on our team, like the average 1-11 last season was like a .330,
yeah,
right? We had two that were above a 500, one or two that were above a .400, and then everybody else was hovering right around that .300 to .350 range. It's insane to have two people on one team batting over a 500.
Yeah,
like
I've heard of, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's well, insane to have two people above a 400 when you're playing, and it's not like we're playing like Class C. Like we're traveling to Sparkler. We're going to all the showcases, the invites, Triple Crown, PG, PGF. Like we're going to the big tournaments. Like if you can make it through that season and bat above a 400. You're a baller, man. Like, you don't have to go 900 to
well,
be seen.
I think when I looked it up, too, and maybe you can Google this if you want to use the TV.
Yeah,
when I looked it up, the highest batting average in the MLB ever for a single season was close to maybe a 490 or something.
I would say a 600. My money's on a 600.
It's definitely not. It's like, I think it's below 500.
Is this how JRE feels?
No, batting leaders for a single season, though. I mean, I guess you could do career.
What?
Single season, right there. Highest batting average single season MLB. Okay, right there. Yep.
426.
Boom. Told you. I knew it was below 500 because I literally looked this up. And I'm not going to say that I was shocked, but I, like,
expected
honestly,
more?
I didn't expect more, but it made me feel better a little bit because I was like, damn, you know, these kids could really use some perspective because I do feel like a lot of them, especially the 10s, the 12s, the 14s, they think that like a 500 to 600 is a batting average that they should be capable of. And it's just, it's not realistic.
Well, I think it's funny too, like even the older girls, like they know better than to expect to go up there and go 5-for-5, you know? Some of the best hitters on our team, two in particular that I can think of, they will strike out and it's like the end of the world, like their life is over. Their family is going to get rid of them. They're gonna disown them. They're not gonna have a house to live in anymore. Like, but it's like, dude, you lost a battle to a girl throwing 65. Like you missed a car on the highway with a bat. That's what it comes down to. Like how do you not put that into perspective? Like not only
very
is it a car, not
very,
only is it a car driving
car.
Right at you at 65 miles per hour, it's a car driving erratically, moving all over the place, and it might hit a ramp and jump up at the last second. You just don't know. But like when you think about it from an outside perspective, like I've always told all the players on our teams, like pitching and batting, it's a chess match. It's literally learning as much as you can and relaying that information until your next at bat. Pitchers are fickle creatures. They like habit, right? So like if your first at bat, you notice that girl comes inside to you twice and she tries to get you to chase outside or up, relay that information because that means the person on deck should probably be swinging at the first or second pitch, right? That's how we win. It's not so much a talent thing. Like hitting a ball is the hardest thing in the entire sports universe to do. So it's
well,
more of
that,
a relay
like,
of information.
This is the ball and you miss here or here.
Yeah.
Ground out, pop fly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
it's one of the, I think, wasn't it sports science that actually said it is the hardest thing in all of athletics to
do. I do believe, yeah.
It's yeah. So I mean, to put so much stock into one or two failures in a game is insane, because those one or two failures are the reason why we play the game. You know, the team that makes those one or two, they typically lose. The team who doesn't, they typically win. So that's why we play.
Okay, so going back on the topic that we kind of skirmished away from.
Parents. Yep.
What do you think has been the toughest thing for you guys to do as parents when it comes to coaching your kids?
Controlling my emotions, I guess, in a sense. So my biggest problem is if the team as a whole is making errors or playing down or just not playing to what I feel is their capability, and then my kid comes out and makes an error.
It's easy to blame your kid.
Yeah, it's 100 times worse for her. And it's challenging because I know that she wants to be the best and wears her heart on her sleeve. She blames herself for a loss. Like, she definitely looks over at me when she makes a mistake.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
You know
we
what I
know.
Mean? Like, yeah, exactly. So
she's always like, oh shit, is he mad?
Yeah. So it's been very challenging.
And it's funny that you say that too, because how many conversations have we had as coaches to other kids on the team, and we're like, listen, quit looking at your parents, because you're focused on the game right now. You can't be worried about how mad they're going to be at you after. And yeah, our kids are like,
yep, exactly.
You know, and I think it's hard as kids. Like, literally, when I was in high school, we had a new coach come in when I was a senior, and I liked him. He made a lot of really good changes for my mental well-being. I don't know if he like watched us play a couple games, but I'm not kidding you. He came in hot right at the beginning of the season, and he gave us a list of 10. And I remember the top two were directly at me, and I was like, thank you, Jesus, you answered my prayers. Number one was, you will ride the bus home. You're not allowed to ride home with your parents. You will ride the bus home. Every single away game we have, you're riding with us. And then the second one was basically we weren't allowed to look up in the stands at our parents, and we were not allowed to answer to any like obscene like gestures or noises, because my dad would always, like, anytime he wanted me, he would, I don't know how he does it, but he whistles and it's incredibly loud, and I'd be like, I mean, okay, run faster, I'm being lazy, okay, I'll pick it up, let me do better. And so as soon as it happened, I was like, yes, I don't have to respond to the whistle anymore. I get to ride home on the bus, like, best day ever. So, I mean, I think it's funny that you said that, because that, and I think that's all kids. It's hard because you respect your parents so much, and you know that, like, at the end of the day, you really want them to be proud of you.
Yeah.
Well, and it goes back to at this age.
Yeah.
Like, still not really knowing whether you're playing for yourself or you're playing for mom and dad, you know? Yeah.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, you love the game, but at the end of the day, nothing, I promise you this, and I've had so many, me and my dad have gone through so many ups and downs, but nothing feels better than when you do something and your dad looks at you, and your mom too, but for whatever reason.
That's
for
my
me,
girl.
Not that.
That a girl? No?
No, absolutely not.
I thought you were talking about the kudos that you get from them.
No, just like, I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
Like, that's my girl.
No.
That a girl.
No.
Whatever. Dude, no. All right, whatever.
I'm proud of you. If my dad said that's my girl to me, I'd be like, go away.
All right.
But, like, I'm proud of you is big, and I feel like that carries a lot of weight, you know, or just giving you, like, a hug and just saying, hey,
good job.
Killed
it.
Like, you don't get that a lot, I feel like. No. Well, with parents that are competitive.
See, and that's, and, like, that's kind of what sucks with Chloe right now is, like, so not this past weekend, but the weekend before, we had 3 games. We had a couple of elite games to make up, and Chloe killed it. Like, realistically, I think it was one of the better outings for Chloe defensively. We had to put her at 3 for a moment. She played outfield. I mean, it was a long day of softball. I think John and I got there at like 11 o'clock and we left at 8. Like, it was a long day of softball.
The 3 games.
And, she was like, or I was like, dude, you absolutely killed it.
Yeah.
Like, great games, like, awesome. And, like, she didn't even say anything. She just said, yeah. And no lie, like, an hour later at home, she goes, Dad, do you really think I did that good? And I was like, yeah, like, what do you mean? Like, I'm pretty sure you went, like, 3 for 5 or, like, and you had a triple. Like,
yes.
You killed it.
She had like, was it, like, a game-winning triple? Yeah. Yeah.
Would have been a home run on any other field.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would have been on the fence because we were playing on that deep baseball field.
Yeah. Yeah, and she was like, oh, okay. Like, it's hard for them, I think, to justify when we're actually like, no, like, you're freaking doing amazing. Like,
well, and it goes back to, like, kids like that that are competitive. They expect, at this age, they expect perfection.
Yeah.
Because they're like, I'm not succeeding unless I'm going 10 for 10.
Yeah.
Right? They don't recognize going 3 for 5 is incredible.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I think,
and hearing, like, an actual, like, hearing their dad, who is also their coach, say, hey, you played awesome. Like, it's an incredible feeling.
Yeah.
So that's kind of mine, the hardest part for me. Last season, I could show up to a game and I could just watch. And I could be impressed with the fact that, like, my kid is a pretty good athlete.
Izzy's, or you could be pissed on the side.
Yeah.
and move away.
Izzy's always played up. Like, Izzy is she's a good little ball player. And I've always been able to kind of, like, differentiate, like, hey, this is what she does really well. This is what she does really bad. And I've always been able to, like, give her kudos in the moment or solid criticism. As her coach, though, I can't do that. I can't walk out and be like, for context, she's our leadoff batter, right? Like, it's one of the toughest things to do is to go up there and swing at the first pitch when it's right there, right? Like she does that consistently. And she's just a tiny little thing. She'll hit it over your head to the fence, and she'll get doubles and triples, and, like, she's a good little hitter. So, like, I remember, I think it was Des Moines, and we were playing in the semis, and Izzy started off with, like, a triple. I want to say it was a double
Which
or a triple.
Is truthfully uncommon, though. She's really hits a lot of singles.
Yeah.
She leads our team in singles right now. I think 16.
But like, she came up first pitch just over the girl's head. She's standing on 2 or 3. I can't remember. But, like, in that one moment in my thought process, I was
it was a double because she was running.
Yeah, she
runs in slow motion.
But yeah. But like, in my head, I'm like, dude, like, that's crazy to me. Like, here's this little 11-year-old playing against, like, 15-year-old girls in high school. Like, she struck out 2 girls from my high school team this past weekend. Like,
you ain't gotta do them like that.
Sorry. But like, at 11, to possess that type of stuff, like, that's crazy. And, like, I so badly at times want to walk over and be like, hey, dude, like, great job, you know? But I can't do that, because if I do, then the 5 girls sitting on the bench, they look at me and they're like, ah, well, it's your kid, so no wonder she's out there, you know? So you kind of have to, like, distance yourself from that role. You don't get to be a fan of that one player. So,
well, and something that I talk about a lot, and I think I've chatted with you guys about it, and I think you guys both started when you were very, when did you guys start playing sports?
Well, I was like 5.
Like baseball.
Yeah, 6, 5.
Yeah, see, and I didn't.
So
actually, go ahead.
I was gonna say, so we south side of Fremont, like, kind of the ghetto. Nobody thinks it's ghetto anymore. It was kind of the ghetto.
I don't think you've heard of Fremont's ghetto.
Nah, it's not.
It's
anymore.
Pretty chill.
Yeah. But that's 6, 7, 8 years old. All we did was every single day met. There was a park, Miller Park, actually. We practiced there. We would meet there almost every day during the summer and play baseball.
Like, we'll get into that another time, because that shit's crazy, like, with technology and how that's changed.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody does that stuff anymore.
Yeah, no,
but
not
finisher.
At all. But, yeah, we started super, super early. And I know where you're going into, because I find it incredible. So go with where you're going.
Well, I started playing basketball when I was in 4th grade. And then I actually didn't play softball until I was in, I think it was 6th or 7th. I want to say it was 7th grade. And it was because my basketball coach said, hey, you're on my basketball team. You're on my softball team. And I was like, oh, I don't know how to play softball. And he's like, great. We'll see you there. And I was like, okay. And so I played softball because it was kind of like, you're on this team, so now you're on my softball team. And we had the same basketball team, played softball together as well, which I don't think anybody does that.
No.
It was really cool for me, like, to have a friend group like that. And I started in center. I started in center field. That's where I started working, and I liked it. It was fun. And then I started pitching when I was in seventh grade, because I was like later in the season, like at the end of the season, because I was like, hey, this is so lame out here. Sometimes, like, I don't ever get any balls. Like, let me have the ball. Like, let me do something with it. And so my dad's like, fine, we'll start pitching. And so I find myself with them with a completely different perspective because I can't relate to how they feel at this age. Like, I don't have an ability to relate to the game and how it's affecting them mentally at the age that they're at, because I never had to go through it at that age. And thinking of playing basketball in that age, I think it would have been incredibly challenging to pitch and play softball at that age and maintain positive, like, mental clarity, especially if my dad was coaching me in that sport, because there is so much failure. Like, in basketball, you can go through the whole first half and just play complete ass, and then the next half just go outstanding, and then you're done with the game and your dad's like, hey, you played pretty good, you know, I'm not super pissed.
Basketball, 30-40%, that's like, you're a baller.
Yes, yeah, you know, and in basketball, the other thing is too, so much of basketball is work ethic and just like absolute busting ass. So you can make up for a bad game by absolutely busting ass and just making defensive recoveries, things like that. Like, that's huge, right? And so that was, for me, I was always, like, if I had a bad game, I was always able to do better because I was pretty quick and I was able to make plays. Softball is very different. It's a slower game. You know, one error and it's like, oh my God, I just had the worst game of my life. Or you have three at-bats, if that. Sometimes you only get two or one. You have one bad at-bat and you're like, damn, that was such a bad game for me.
See, I don't know. I never really thought of it that way. Like, sports was kind of like my whole life growing up. Like, from the time I was 6, 7, like, I never played basketball in high school. I wrestled, but, like, I would be outside in our driveway playing basketball. We would have pickup games going on till 9:30 at night. Like, you had a shitty day at school.
Okay, so let me play.
Well, I mean, like, you had a shitty day at school. You come home, you play backyard football. Like,
yeah.
Like, there was so many different ways to channel our emotions. So, to me, growing up, and, like, I'm unrelatable to a lot of the younger kids as well. Like, sports was my outlet. Like, I had a bad day. That was the one place I could go to forget about my day. And I could just focus on playing the game, you know? And, like, to me, that's one of the biggest disconnects is now you have all this, not to segue, but, like, all this technology that, like, you have a bad day, you can get on there and make other people feel sorry for you. Whereas, like, when I was growing up, you had a bad day, you go outside, you tackle somebody in the backyard, you know?
Well, like and a perfect example on that is Snapchat. Like, I have a lot of I have Izzy and maybe like two other friends on Snapchat, and I don't really use Snapchat, but they always post their stories and whatnot, or like how they're, it's like a daily feed of how their life's going. I don't know. I don't really like Snapchat. But she always posts on there, like, this is what I did in my game.
Went 3 for 3.
You know, or like, I went 0 for 3, and I'm like, brother, don't tell people that, you know? Like, but at the same time, like, that's what these kids do, and their friends respond, and they're like, hey, it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're right. Like, don't worry about it.
But that goes
or,
back
hey,
to...
Or, hey, good game. Like,
that goes back to, like, at the end of our 14U game on Sunday, we kind of brought everybody in and talked a little bit, and, like, just the victim culture, like, in my opinion, is so bad. Like, it's so easy for everybody just to fall victim to something anymore. Like, it's hard for somebody to stand up and be like, you know what? Like, dude, I sucked. I sucked that game. Like, that's on me. I'm going to be better next time. It's a lot easier. I don't know. I think it has. Like, at least for me, maybe men's sports were different, but
they might be, because I remember, like, if I'm being honest, like, it with the victim mentality, it was very much so a thing in sports for me when I was, especially in high school. Like, I feel like it was worse in high school than it was in, like, when I played when I was younger.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
But I think it's easy to blame other people for your kids' failures.
Yeah. 100%.
I think it's incredibly easy to look at other people and say, okay, my kid failed, but it's not her fault.
Yeah.
She failed because you failed. You failed her because you're not doing this for her.
Yeah.
Or you're not giving her enough, or you're doing more for this person than you're doing for this person. You know, and it's just
easy to do. And kind of going into that, like, I think some people ask me or tell me I'm crazy and this and that because, like, I'm just so, like, I drive to Omaha to pick up girls to bring them to Fremont for practices. Mm-hmm. Like, the last thing I ever want from a parent that the girl that I'm coaching isn't excuse.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want them to ever be like, well, we couldn't be there because it's 30 minutes away, or we couldn't do this, or you're more focused on this than that. And it's like, no, I offer one-on-ones with every single person. Every single one of your parents has my
phone. Yeah, I actually don't know how you have the time to do the extra shit that you do.
Your parent has my phone number. I would say 3 or 4 of the actual players have my phone number and can call me or text me and say, hey, can we go do this? And 99% of the time, I'm
you're like, yeah,
down.
Absolutely. Well,
yes.
And I do think, like, the excuse thing, like, let's be honest here, select sports are huge, right? Like, it's not like back
sports
in the day.
Sports are bigger in the United States than they are in any other country.
Yeah, but it's not like back in the day where, like, when I was in high school, there was baseball season. There was football season.
Year-round
It's like year-round, right? And, like, it's been this way for, like, the last decade, and it's gradually evolving. And, like, now you have people putting up these big-ass bubble domes in the middle of winter so they can go play indoor softball and baseball, right? Yeah. So, like, it's a total excuse because parents know what they're buying into. Like, before they ever buy into it. Yeah. So, like, as a parent, it's almost, especially at this age group, the younger age groups, like, it's just as much your obligation to the team as it is the player's obligation. So, you know, at the end of the day, it's a two-way street, and it takes both parties to succeed. So, like you said, like, it's a total excuse.
Speaking of blaming stuff, too, how often do you see parents blaming equipment? Like, a kid has a bad day batting, so obviously
gotta go get a new bat.
Or a kid is like having a rough day in the field, and they're like, you know what? It's the glove. I gotta go. That's very different, though. No, his daughter, first of all, is our center fielder. This right here is a 12-inch, right? Pretty small. It's not a large glove by any means, but I use this in the infield. She has a glove that comes to about right there. And the amount of balls that I've seen hit this tip right here when she's jumping in extension, I'm like, brother, please take that 11 and a fucking half glove and go get you a 12 and a half or a 12.75. She needs a different glove. And he was like, okay, all right, I'll do it. But it took him forever. And mind you, this man also bought her a baseball glove. So it doesn't even have a softball pocket. The pocket's like this big. I was like, dude, come on. We have got to be better.
Yeah.
But... you know, we're not blaming the equipment. We're just saying better equipment would be better in that circumstance. But I feel like I see a lot specifically in batting
100%.
Where parents are like, God, my kid's just in a slump. You know what's funny is Saz on our 18U team actually brought this up the other day. I was like, hey, you got a new bat? She goes, yeah. Yeah, my dad said I was in a slump, so he showed up with this. And I was like, well, did it help? And she goes,
no.
Nope.
That's awesome.
And so, I mean, I feel like it is pretty funny.
You know what, though? In her defense, though. That girl,
even in a slump, she was still hitting like a 400.
That girl hit like, we lost 2 games that probably would have sent us to state for high school, and she was the last at bat both games, and both games she hit like a walk off home run. Like,
she's very clutch.
Like, these high schools actually
wait, is kinda, this the girl that we bunt all the time?
Yes. No. Bunt, yes.
So, but like,
we love Saz.
She hit 2 walk-offs, like true walk-offs. And on both fields, they were like 240, 260. Like it's high school softball. Like put up a fucking fence. Like, come on, quit doing the kids dirty. Like, I can remember our 18s, the first one that we ever coached. We went to state softball, and Susie Shanks, she was a little slapper. She hit a home run, slapping home run, over right field on a baseball field. On a baseball field, like 300, right? And like, they told her, like, nope, ground rule double. I'm like, brother, no, like, put up a fucking softball fence, you know? Like, I don't know. That irritates me. Like, if you're going to play softball, at least have the right means to play softball. Well, sorry, I ranted on a side note there.
No,
but
that's fine.
I was going to say, we talked about it, like, you can go buy a breakaway fence.
You can rent them
for
like $200.
So
that drives me nuts, because all you're doing at that point is just robbing the kids, you know? Like,
let the kids play.
Well, no, seriously. Like, think about it. Like, Eliana,
yep.
Alana, Chloe. Izzy had one that was close. Yep. But, like, those are four girls that I can name off of just our 14U team that, like, we've been playing on baseball fields. Put them on a softball field, they got their first home run.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know. It drives me nuts.
And I think that's another good segment to talk about is fields, actually, because I feel like there's a lot that's going around about how the softball fence should be moved back a little bit.
In college?
I think it would be incredibly difficult to do it. Not feasible, but there's a lot of people that say that we should move it back.
I mean, like, if you look at, like the Jocelyn Allos, like those types of players that have access to the type of training that they do at the college level with the power that they have, like, I could see moving it back 10 feet.
But at the same time,
that's what makes softball so fun to watch.
Yeah. Is they want to see people hit it out. And there's still pitchers that are pitching perfect games, right?
Exactly.
So I don't think it's something that'll ever happen, but I think it's maybe a good talking point.
Yeah. Speaking of talking points, I do believe you have a friend.
Yes. Yep.
That is probably going to end up joining us for one of our podcasts here in the future.
Yeah, she plays a little bit of professional softball, and so we're excited to get her on. I think we'll do it on a Zoom call, so that's what we have the TV for. So now we can invite more guests in. And I know Annabelle Noonan, she reached out and she said that she'd love to hop on a podcast with us. She's playing in
Fort
Florida,
right
now. So, and she's in her freshman year. So,
and she would be a really good one to talk to because she didn't commit until probably
really
a week before our season ended in the summer.
And I think that'd be a perfect segment to just talk about, okay, how's transitioning from this to this, because I do think she's had a lot to say just with us, like talking about like what's difficult, what's been challenging, you know, things that she's liked. And so I think she'd be a really good one to get on as well. But I think we're gonna have a lot of really cool, fun guests. And like we say, if you guys have anything that you want us to talk about more or anything that you want us to get into, I think we're open to pretty
especially
much any
like,
topic point.
Like Sam is going to deny this, but she's constantly on her phone. She's constantly on TikTok. Like, shoot her a message, be like, hey, I would love to hear a podcast about this or what your mindset should be late in a basketball game. Or like, it doesn't have to be softball related, sports related. Like we said in the first one, we relate a little bit easier to the baseball, softball world, but all sports as a whole, like, they really fascinate us. So.
Yeah. And the mentality around them is pretty much the same in the sense, right? I mean,
you either got it or you don't. Mamba mentality.
Boom, boom, boom.
But anyways, we're going to try to put out at least one every week. We will have the name drop of our guest coming here soon, as soon as we go ahead and get that 100% good to go. But thank you guys for taking time to listen to us rant, banter back and forth and just kind of make fun of each other, but really enjoying this so far, and we look forward to seeing you guys on the next episode.